You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You know, every one of you preachers have to fight for your position. I want you to write that down. I have to fight for my position. What do you believe? I have been fighting here for 50 years. 50 years ago, it was new evangelicalism, a new standard. 50 years ago, that came in from 1948 from Pasadena, California, is when Harold Ockingay came and preached at Fuller Seminary, the commencement exercise. He said, there's a new word I want to introduce to you. It's called new evangelicalism, a new standard. And they listed the 7 points. I'll list them maybe tomorrow if I get a chance. But 7 different points. For example, we're going to give more towards science. We're going to let science lead us. It was really German rationalism he was talking about. German rationalism was that where you allowed your feelings to be your motive, and you allowed your feelings to establish your position. And so I don't feel. In fact, in America, in history, in the 1800s after Civil War, you were not considered educated until you went to Europe and learned German rationalism. And everything just goes how I feel about it, and it's not how you feel. It's not the issue of the day. For example, back in the 80s, late 70s, 80s in this area and everywhere in the nation, we dropped the word church and we became centers. And every church around here that was starting was called a center. Guess what? You can't find a church that's called a center now. Those things come and go. And then the word fellowship, it was a North Valley fellowship. They did not want the word church. Then they didn't want the word Baptist. And now they don't want either one of them. They want to be the grape, the vine, the root, the river, whatever it is. They want to be everything. But you're not telling anybody what you believe. And if your church is going to make it the long haul, and I don't say this arrogant, our church has made it the long haul. Now, I don't know if it'll continue because everything corrupts. Everything corrupts. Needless to say, go to Tennessee Temple. Go to Highland Park. You just took us there. It's empty. It's not around. The fellow came in and they pulled all the landscape out and they painted all the buildings gray and black. All those beautiful brick buildings. And they thought it was gonna, but it's not there's no Highland Park anymore. There's no Lee Robertson. They had 5,000 students walking around downtown, and now it's just homeless people down there. There's nothing there. Hey, Pontiac, Michigan. Tom Malone, it's nothing there. Midwestern Bible College, nothing there. And everything corrupts. Everything corrupts. The White House, it corrupted. In 1812, the British came in and they burned it with fire. So they came back and they rebuilt it. But in 1948, the thing was falling apart. You know, when Abraham Lincoln lived there, the sheep and the cattle went through the second floor where he lived. That people were open to come into his house any time. He'd open the door and there are people waiting for him. And that building corrupted. So what'd they do? They tore out everything. They took the rooms apart piece by piece and they tore it out from the foundation all the way up. You could see 3 floors, 4 floors, and you could see it all. And they brought tractors in for years. They worked at rebuilding because everything corrupts. Everything corrupts. There have been 15 Bible colleges, renowned Bible colleges, that since I began pastoring this church that have collapsed. They're no longer in existence. And what happens is we begin to test the wind of the day. And the wind of the day, that won't ever work. I remember they came to me in the 1980s and said, Billy Graham's coming to town. And I said, well, I'm happy for you. They said, you're the only large church in this area that's not supporting it. We want you to support it. Well, you know what? I fly into Charlotte. I want to go to his library. That would be awesome to see. It's right by the airport, about a mile away. It's Brother Gammons, others, you've told me it's just awesome. I want to go see it. But the problem was with Billy Graham, he had Catholics on the platform. There's not a Catholic bone in my body. He had Mormons up there. He had Jehovah's Witness up there. They're all up there I don't believe any of their doctrine. You're going to have to figure out what you believe. And then once you figure out what you believe, you have to stick with it. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about this. Everything corrupts. Ivy League schools corrupted. You think we landed here in 1620, but 1636, 16 years later, they said, let's start a Bible college. What Bible college did they begin in 1636? Harvard. Harvard was a Bible college. 58% of the graduates became preachers. Now they were, quote, Protestants. They were Congregationalists. They were Presbyterians. They were Baptists. But they were preachers. The tenets of Harvard says you have to be fluent in the scriptures and read the scriptures twice every day. Harvard's tenets said we're here to Christianize the heathen Indians. How's that going over today? But from 1636 to 1701, they corrupted. And 1701, a Presbyterian, actually a Congregationalist, he stood up and said, I believe he was the president of Harvard at one time. I'm not sure. I think he was. But he said, I'm not going to allow what's going on Harvard's campus. They're drinking. They're carousing. He said, I want to start another college called Yale. And they began Yale, and Yale, all the Ivy League schools, eight of them, all of them were Bible colleges. And the purpose was to train basically Presbyterians, but many for the ministry. But everything corrupts. I think of Wheaton. Wheaton stood against Trump. And Wheaton has a Muslim faculty member teaching Christianity. You can't have a Muslim teaching. How does that happen? Because men compromise their position. Compromise, write it down. Compromise never built anything. I would hope that you believe Ezra 9:8 that God's given us a space of grace with this election. I would hope that you'd think that having a president that starts a cabinet meeting last week with prayer. I'd hope you'd be happy about that. CNN is not, MSNBC is not, and all the rest of the crowd is not, and the Democrats are not, and they're opposing everything. And this could be 4 years of, and the judges are not supporting it, but the man's focused. I don't like his language. I don't like some things about him, but the man is focused. And here's what he believes, and here's how he believes you save America. One way is by cutting spending. And they're having a big, big hissy fit over that. You have to know what you believe and then stick with it. You cannot follow the crowd of the day. The word new evangelicalism is not even the word today. The word today, it's no longer contemporary, but now it's just anything goes. You cannot build a great church on contemporary music. Just write it down. You cannot build a contemporary church on great music. You know, brother Caleb, you didn't know I was going to do this. Are you in here? Come on to the piano. Just give me chords, okay? And here's what we've got going in our churches. Music is built off a chord, a dominant, a third, and a fifth. Give me a dominant note. And this is a dominant note, a middle C. Okay, and then a third, and then a fifth, and eighth. Fifth there, put all three together. Now that's what you want. That's what you want in your introduction. You always want the theme of the music to be prominent so you know what you're singing. Can you just give me chords as I speak? Just chords, just not a song, just chords, okay? Just play chords. Well, we want to welcome you to church today. God's so good. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Keep playing, keep playing. I want you to sing with me. All praise to Him. We don't know what we're going. All praise goes to Jesus. You know, that's an uncertain sound. There's no, give me "And Can It Be." Just give me a good introduction on "And Can It Be." And can it be? Lift it up and sing it together on the first stanza. And we're ready to go. Music, just stay there just in case I use you. Just go to sleep. You know, when in Exodus 32, when Moses delayed coming down, the Bible says, verse 1, they corrupted with their dress, with their music, and with their worship. Do not borrow new evangelicals, contemporaries, philosophy of services. Don't copy it. We have a publications ministry here. I got so many books last week. I get books all the time. And if they're written without using King James Bible, I don't read it. I just don't believe it. So I throw away books every week. If you want some probably good books, they're in my garbage can out there. You can go get them. But I don't want a contemporary church. I want an old-fashioned hymn book, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So everything corrupts. Every building built corrupts. Tennessee Temple, just sitting there. When you drove me by, Pastor and Mrs. Gravely, it just broke my heart. All those buildings, Weigel Hall, all those buildings, all those dormitories. I remember back in the early 80s, driving on that campus, and there were people walking everywhere downtown. It's a ghost town. We walk through, it's a ghost town other than homeless people. How does that happen? Well, it happened not under Dr. Lee Robertson's watch. Dr. Lee Robertson knew what he believed. You're going to have to understand what you believe. You know, I think of the early church. The early church, Paul says this of the first generation church, after my departure, shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves. See, in your church, you have some music. Every church has them. We have them. Every church has music people that want to corrupt your church. Because God always, everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. And so we have the counterfeit of music. Also, of your own selves, so grievous wolves come in, not sparing the flock. You say, well, these churches in town, by the way, if your church is marrying all the other churches in town, there's no need for your church. Because you've got a mega church in your town that's doing the same thing you're doing. You've got to figure out what you believe, and then believe it till the day you die. I'm too old now. I'm not going to change. You say, well, what if this place deteriorates? It may. Then I'll give it to one of these other men. And God will call me into full-time evangelism or something like that. Beloved, that was Acts chapter 20, verse number 29 and 30. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith is the historic doctrines of the faith. Brother Tony, is biblical separation a historic doctrine? It absolutely is. God, be holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. God wants a holy church. Well, I won't have a large church. Don't be enamored with numbers. The church grows, let it grow. If it doesn't grow, don't let it grow. Just do your best you can do. The Bible says, and for that you should earnestly contend for the faith. There are certain men crept in unawares. They creep into our churches. We have them come here and regularly. They'll drop off pamphlets, good pamphlets, abortion pamphlets, all these different things, and they'll drop them off. I said, we're going to throw them right in the garbage. I don't want your non-denominational stuff around here. I don't want that influence. I know what I want for my people. I have 42 deacons. I want those deacons to know what I believe. I asked them last deacons meeting, because we picked up four new ones. I said, tell me, what does a deacon do here? And by the way, deacons are scriptural. That's a scriptural office, Acts chapter 6. And I said, what are we trying to do around here? One deacon said, culture. That's exactly right. We're trying to create a culture. We have, look, these high school kids over here, many of them go on to live for God, many won't. Right now they are. Right now, mom tells them, or dad tells them, pastor tells them, or principal tells them what we believe and where we're going, and they're bought into it, and they love it. But a year from now, when they graduate, or 2 years, or 4 years, or 10 years, they'll cast it off. I'll still love them. Good night. You can come back and say hello to me anytime you want. But I'm not going to change. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God or not. 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were false prophets among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, there are false teachers in your town. There's false teachers in publication ministries. There's false teachers that everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. I want to show you a brief video. You've seen this video. But I want you to see this video, because everything corrupts. Everything in this world corrupts. And when it corrupts, you destroy that which you've tried to build. It's about 6 minutes, I think, or 7 minutes or so. You've seen it.
Sitting in the southern side of Akron, Ohio, lies the decaying remains of the Akron Baptist Temple, a vast expanse of building that was one of the first megachurches in the United States. Baptist Temple would get its modest beginnings in 1935 with just 80 members. It was headed by Dallas F. Billington, a Southern evangelist who had moved to Akron to work at Goodyear Tire. In just 6 months, the church had grown to over 500 members, and they built their first building in 1937. They continue to grow, necessitating speakers placed outside for those who could not fit into the pews, and by 1948, membership was at 10,000 when a new 2,800-seat auditorium was constructed that remains today.
Yeah. It's like the main entranceway. Oh yeah, so then the main church is right over this thing. Oh, wow, yeah, there she is, the stained glass window. Look at that thing. These were all recordings. Oh, wow! Yeah, this is the sermons they had.
Akron Baptist Temple would be at the forefront of new ministries over the years. Even before their first building, they had been producing radio programs which would culminate in owning their own record label that put out numerous gospel records. Services would be broadcast weekly on WAKR-TV.
Here's some more recordings. Oh yeah, look at this. They've got all of their recordings still saved here. Look at all of these. All those are full of them too.
In 1938, they would pioneer the concept of bus ministries when they purchased 2 school buses to pick up children for Sunday school. That number would expand to around 40 buses that would pick up anyone in the city on Sundays to bring them to the church. By 1969, they were the largest Sunday school in the world, with almost 6,000 students in attendance.
Look at this. They had it as just a jungle theme. Yeah, look at this big mural they had for aquariums. Yeah, the higher up you get, the older.
After his death, a 24-hour vigil was held for over 18,000 mourners to pay their respects to Dallas Billington in 1972. In 1978, the original temple was replaced with a 4,000-seat building, even though sometimes attendance would reach 7,000. Just 2 years after opening, the new church would catch fire by suspected arson. It was rebuilt to the current 4,000-seat auditorium, which sits on 29 acres of land.
There's not enough ink in the world and enough white paper for you to write what will cost you to miss heaven.
Judas could have had his name in the foundation walls of Jesse, but he didn't. You have all that this world has to offer, and when you die, it's all down here.
The bridge. And I think, does this lead back out to the... Hey, I found another auditorium.
In 2018, Akron Baptist Temple would sell the building and move outside of the city, rebranding to Connect Church. Scrappers and vandals quickly found their way into the building, which has deteriorated to the state seen here. In 2023, the city applied for $12 million in grants to demolish several large buildings, including the megachurch.
Amen. Now, you may have seen that before. In closing, the Bible says, I marvel. Galatians 1:6, I marvel. I'm shocked that ye are so soon removed from him that's called you to another gospel. You're going to have to fight this other gospel. And you know what? It's not fun. I take no joy in fighting everything, but I fight everything. I've got my eyes open. The Bible says I'm an episkopos, is the Greek word, an overseer of the assembly. I oversee everything. And these men know if I hear some music that I don't think is what I want, I deal with it. And they don't get hair-lipped and, you know, they all upset and quit the church. Brother Caleb, if I rebuked you about anything, how would you receive it? Just fine. Brother Martinez, the world's best pianist, not a better piano player, but the world's best music director. If I rebuked about, how would you take it, Brother Martinez?
Write it down, sir.
Yeah, he'd write it down. He goes, I'll change that. Brother Martinez, so I said, well, just check with Brother Martinez. He probably knows the answer. And they came and checked, and you had 13, 15, 20 pages, small, 8.5 by 11. He goes, these are the things pastors corrected me on. I was ashamed of myself. I've not tried to correct him on anything else. But now he can outdo me. He can outlead me. He can do all that. But he got there because he listened. And you're going to have to, pastors, figure out what kind of music you want. This church with Dallas Billington, it worked. He was working at Goodyear Tire. He was a great soul winner. Just went after souls every single day. The story, they began Canton Baptist Temple. One day, Canton Baptist Temple had vacation Bible school. And they went out and they got kids. And you know, those pastors would get those kids' names every night. And the next day they'd go see the family. The pastors just did that. They just did it all the time. They sort of believed in work. And they went out and they saw this third grade little girl. Am I telling a story that you're going to tell this week? But a third grade girl, and they reached her for Christ. They went back that week and won the mom and dad to Christ. You know, that man became the principal of a school that we started in Connecticut, your home church. That was your mother, the third grade. That was her mother. And she got saved at Canton Baptist, which is a spinoff of Akron Baptist. What happened in that church? What happened in that church? The dad did right, the son did right, but the grandson decided to drop the name Baptist and drop the name church and become the connection and brought the drums in and got rid of the choir. Maybe something to learn here? You saw the building. Most of you probably have seen that in the past. It was on one of the ABC and one of the news channels. That's where I got it. And that's what happens. Everything corrupts. You're going to have to stand against corruption. So you're going to have to do what I did. I wrote down 52 years ago what I believe. If I wasn't a pastor, I was assistant pastor. If I become a pastor, this is what I wanted: 10 rules. Because God had 10 commandments. You can govern a nation with 10 commandments. That's all. We don't need, there's 631 commandments in the Bible, but we only need those 10. We can govern America with those 10 commandments. We can govern our churches with those 10 commandments. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness, all of them, you know. We could govern our churches with 10 commandments. So I tried to make it 10, I came up with 13. And we can add amendments because you can strengthen the Constitution. Our president of my college says, whenever you remove the foundational principles of any organization, you always announce its doom. So don't change. Brother Tom Harrison is here somewhere. Brother Harrison right there. We were in college together. We heard Dr. Cedar Holm say that all the time. Whenever you change your founding principles of any organization, you announce its doom. So I wrote down what I believe. We give it out in every membership packet. We give it out every year to our workers. And here is what I believe. If you're going to be a worker in this church, you got to attend this church. Our church was 6 months old when my wife and I came. There was just 20-some people there. But about 2-3 months later, I'm preaching and I'm looking out the back door. You could see, and there's this lady out there in a beautiful pantsuit, and she was taking little kids to a class. I approached her afterwards. I said, where are you? She goes, I'm the teacher here. I said, well, I've been here 2 months. Where have you been? She goes, well, I've been busy. But I said, you just taught your last lesson. Now, that didn't set well. There was a lady that about after 2 months, she showed up and started playing the organ. I could name her name right now. I won't name it. And I said, I got to tell you something, hon. I love you. I appreciate you, an older lady, but you're not the organist anymore. Boy, her son, married son, called me, and he got me at his house on Sunday afternoon, and he said, you are going to cause this woman a heart attack, and you're going to, well, yeah, but you know what? She's not our organist. Now, that was hard to do. I didn't want to, I'd go by that house and try to befriend. I couldn't get her, I never got her back in. But you got to figure out what you believe. And then you got to fight for what you believe. Our Father, I pray your blessing upon our sessions now as we go. God, help us to stand for something. And help every pastor to leave here standing for old-time religion. And God, as we stand for old-time religion, gospel songs, hymns, spiritual songs, preaching, teaching, dressing right, staying out of the movie theater, staying out of all the dance halls, everything. I know that's so foreign nowadays. But then help people that are with these pastors to stand with them. Lord, it's not the people's purpose to establish a direction where we're going. It's a pastor. He's the shepherd. He's the one that's leading that church and guiding that church. And so help them to have people stand with them. God, may we not drop Sunday school. Sunday school is so important. May we not drop Sunday night. May we not drop Wednesday night. And just one and done. God, help us to keep preaching the word daily, house to house, teaching and preaching the word of God. Help us to be an old-time religion church. And God, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But Lord, we want to have a report, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless these men of God and these women of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.